This podcast is brought to you by AJ Products, made in Sweden for the rest of the world. Visit ajproducts.ie to see how we can make your workplace work for you.
This is In the News from the Irish Times. I'm Saoirse Pollock. Today, the chaotic attack in Drimna, which has claimed the life of a 20-year-old man. Conor Lally is the Irish Times security and crime editor. Conor, we only had you on the podcast just yesterday. We weren't expecting to bring you back in so quickly. But this shooting on Dublin's south side is so significant, we felt we needed to bring you back in for another chat about what's been going on here. So just to recap, it's only been a few months since in February you reported that gun crime in the Republic of Ireland had plummeted. Now, this will come as a little consolation to the family of the 20-year-old man who's been killed in what's believed to be the first gangland killing of this year. His name was Josh Itselli and he died at the scene in Drimna, while full body armour, high calibre firearms and a suspected pipe bomb were seized by Gardaí in the area. Conor, can I start by asking, who was Josh Itselli? What do we know about him and how did he die?
Well, we don't know a huge amount about him yet. We know he's a 20-year-old man. He appears to have been living in the Ballyfermot area, the Colmar area of Ballyfermot, certainly up until fairly recently. And then more recently, he had an address in Rathoath in County Meath. Now, his parents came from the Democratic Republic of Congo just over 20 years ago. Obviously, that would be quite an unsafe country, very volatile. And, you know, we assume they came here in search of a safer and more prosperous life. And we know their son, Josh, he was born in Ireland. He turned 20 just about 2 weeks ago. And he appears to have become involved in drug dealing in recent times. He was facing two charges of cocaine dealing, you know, fairly low level dealing in a park in Drimna. He was caught in April and May of last year. So he would have been due up in court now in the next week or two. But, you know, they were fairly, I suppose, fairly low level charges. But that is certainly the scene that he was involved in. And this appears to be the scene that claimed his life. I mean, the guards do think it was connected to the drugs trade. They think it was an organised crime clash, probably between two rival factions in Dublin. A lot of people up at the crime scene are very shocked at just the sheer scale of what happened up there.
Can you take me back, Conor, to the early hours of Monday morning when events began to unfold? What do we know about how he was killed and what Gardaí discovered at the scene?
The first indication the guards got anything was wrong when a large number of people began calling them just after 12 o'clock, about a quarter past 12. And local people reported hearing, you know, a large number of shots, maybe up to 20 shots being fired. And these were loud shots. These were from very high caliber firearms being fired in the area. So the guards got a lot of phone calls about it. And a number of other people heard cars crashing as well on the road. So this is on the Knocknaree Road area of Drimna, which is, you know, next to Sperrin Road and Our Lady of Good Counsel Church. And there's a primary school there as well and a parish hall.
Okay.
So it appears that the car that Josh Itselli was in was a Volkswagen Golf. It appears to have been rammed head on by men in a second car. The guards, he believed, and those men got out of that car and essentially opened fire and fired these shots into Josh Itselli's vehicle. He was wounded a number of times. And while paramedics and the guards got there very quickly and tried to work on him, sadly, he was pronounced dead at the scene. And then there was a third vehicle, which was a Ford Focus, and it was crashed just up outside the Our Lady of Good Counsel Church on Sperrin Road. And it had clearly been crashed a lot of times. I mean, it had, it looked like it, as it tried to speed out of the area, that it had hit several parked cars. It had hit a tree, hit the curb. And the whole side of that car and the back of that car was completely destroyed. The tires were punctured. That was in a worse way than either of the two vehicles where the main crime scene were. So then you had stray rounds hitting and breaking the windows in the parish hall, which, you know, it was quite some way from the crime scene.
It seems very dangerous that shots were spreading in that way.
Absolutely. And I think really the problem was it happened at a crossroads between a number of streets. The shots just went everywhere. There was a large number of them fired. You had these cars screeching around the roads as well. And it was the cars screeching around appear to alert local people that something was happening before the shooting actually took place.
Okay.
And I think that's what aided people in calling the guards so quickly and the guards arriving so fast.
Was Josh Atsaley alone in the car? Were there other passengers with him?
We don't know that. We think he was alone in the car. One of the features of this particular killing was the fact that the crime scene is so widespread, three vehicles involved. The guards also believe several parties were armed at the scene.
Can you tell me about how they were armed? What were they carrying?
Well, certainly one of the guns that was seized was an AR-15 semi-automatic rifle, and that is like military grade kit. So that's okay. A really serious piece of weaponry. A second, I suppose, unusual thing about this crime scene is that as one of the armed guard response units arrived, they encountered three men on foot in the area. They stopped them, spoke to them. These men were wearing body armour. They were arrested. Two of them were aged 20. One of them is a teenager. So those men were brought in for questioning as well, as I say, wearing this body armour.
Mm.
The AR-15 semi-automatic rifle that we're talking about was actually thrown into a hedge just on the street, and there's actually clips going around on social media of the guards like picking this gun from the top of a hedge. So just a really unusual crime scene. A couple of the people that I spoke to, one man in particular said that he came out of his house when he heard the cars kind of screeching around the place and then crashing. He heard the gunfire. He said it was really loud and a very large number of shots. And he said that as he came out of his house, he could see people running away and he thought one of them was armed with a firearm.
Mm. And there was a pipe bomb as well, wasn't there?
And there was a pipe bomb found at the scene when Gardaí arrived. Now, again, this is a very unusual item to find at the scene of a gangland killing. So Gardaí believed that somebody involved in this, either the perpetrators or the targets, had brought that pipe bomb to the area and were maybe going to use it against a criminal rival, until the rival organisation intervened and they clashed on the street. Mm. That appears to be what happened, but we don't know that. But as I say, when the guards went in there, they tried to save Josh Atsaley's life. He was pronounced dead at the scene. Then when they began searching in the area, they found this pipe bomb. The army bomb disposal people had to be called in. Residents had to be taken out of their house. This is in the early hours of the morning. You know, it's raining out, it's cold. So adults, children, grandparents, everything taken out of their homes, brought into other people's homes. So it was really all going on.
I mean, it's clearly a really messy fight that happened there on Monday. And as you've mentioned already, there were stray rounds from the shooting that broke the windows of nearby community centre. Honestly, it seems like a miracle no one else was injured. What else can you tell me about the Garda investigation?
Well, I suppose the Garda investigation at this stage, I mean, as I say, they're questioning three people. Gardaí certainly believe they have crucial information about what happened here. They were on the scene when it happened.
Mm.
At least one of them knew Josh Atsaley. So the, you know, the Garda efforts are really focused on them for now. Guards also have a firearm, as we say. They believe that was the one used to kill Josh Atsaley.
Okay.
And then they also have three cars that they can technically examine to see, you know, can they glean who was in those cars when they crashed. But there were also other people on the scene who Gardaí are certain were there and who fled, and they're unaccounted for. There is also CCTV in that area. There's a public CCTV system on the Knocknarea Road area and on Sperrin Road. And indeed, the exact location where the two cars crashed and where Josh Atsaley was shot dead, there are several CCTV cameras there. So guards would be hoping that they were turned on and operating at the time of the killing. So the guards do have a lot to go on. And generally speaking, they do solve these crimes now.
What about the three men, or the two men and the teenager who were in custody? How long can they hold them for?
They are being held under Section 30 of the Offences Against the State Act. So they can be questioned for up to 72 hours without charge. So that 72-hour period can go on for quite a few days if they opt to take a break overnight and all of that. But in a lot of these cases, what happens is it's a much, you know, more organised attack. People get away in the car that they travel to. The vehicles are burnt out. The guns aren't found. There's no eyewitnesses and that kind of thing. That's not what happened here. A lot of stuff was left behind by the killers and by other people who were also on the scene. And there were also three arrests at the scene, which is almost unheard of.
Mm.
So the guards do have a good head start, and I would say they will solve this crime.
Coming up, why Gardaí believe retaliation for Monday's shooting is highly likely.
This podcast is brought to you by AJ Products, creating a more friction-free office, made in Sweden for the rest of the world. Visit ajproducts.ie to see how we can make your workplace work for you.
Connor, what do you think is going on in those areas with young men and gangland rivalry? I mean, is this a new generation of younger gangs appearing?
Well, I think it probably is a new generation of younger gangs. Yeah. One of the men who was being questioned would be, you know, very much on the Garda radar in that particular area, South inner city type area, for suspected of involvement in very serious crime, including drug dealing and other forms of organised crime. And he is only very young. So yeah, what you've had in the Crumlin and Drimna area, really, a lot of people will recall that we had a very protracted gangland feud there from about the year 2000 until about 2010. 16 or 17 men were shot dead as part of that feud. And really the group that won that feud became known as the Liam Byrne Organised Crime Group. And it was the one that ran the Kinahan's affairs in Ireland until it was more or less taken down in the aftermath of the Regency Hotel attack back in 2016. But Crumlin and Drimna have seen more than their fair share of this kind of violence involving, I suppose, you know, volatile young men, very daring young men who, you know, are willing to go to extremes to shoot at their rivals. The kind of crime that Josh Itzelli had come to the attention of the guards for was like dealing cocaine on a street level in a park in Drimna. So this is bottom of the rung type stuff. But this has been, I suppose, really for the last 20 years or so, this has been a characteristic now of Irish organised crime. You don't have to be an older senior criminal or a gang leader in order to have access to very high powered guns. And you can pay people to do things like steal cars for you that you can use in these kinds of attacks. So once you're willing to carry out these attacks, they're not that hard to organise. And the chaos involved in this particular one would suggest to me that these were all very young people who probably haven't engaged in this type of violence before. But organised crime is always moving. It's always rejuvenating. And as I say, as that group, the Byrne Group, which was one of the feuding gangs in Crumlin and Drimna, went on to become the Irish end of the Kinahan cartel and was then taken down, you have younger criminals then from the age of like 15 to 25 looking on at that. They see a vacancy there now, particularly in that area, and they will try to grow and become strong. And this is typically what happens.
What about the people of Drimna, the people who walked outside their front doors either during the night on Monday or in the early hours? You mentioned this primary school there. How are they feeling? They felt this gun violence was almost something of the past, and now this has happened.
Yeah, certainly some of the people that I spoke to said like it had been very, very quiet for years. They hadn't seen or had to deal with anything like this for a very long period of time, and they were really shocked. I mean, they were, you know, some of them were talking about being woken by the gunfire, others by the cars screeching around, others by the Garda helicopter in the sky for about an hour afterwards. And people were frightened. Some people, you know, a lot of people didn't want to talk on the record. And then you had Josh Itzelli's, there was a group of his kind of family friends arriving at the scene, you know, from the older generation to maybe people in their 40s, then 20s and teens. People were very upset. They were on the phone to his parents, trying to decide should they come to the scene. And, you know, it was very emotional and it was very upsetting for all of these people, obviously. And then you just had the locals trying to just figure out from this crime scene what was after happening the previous night.
Could there be reprisals? Could we see people affected by Monday's shooting resurfacing in the coming days and weeks?
Well, there could be reprisals, yeah. And I mean, typically, if we look back at the history of these gangland feuds that we've had, they can very often start with, you know, one attack and then there's a reprisal and then, you know, you're into this cycle of tit for tat attacks that can go on for years.
Yeah.
And I suppose, you know, the age profile of some of the suspects here, obviously of the victim, is quite young, you know, late teens, early 20s. And really, when we look at the lessons of the last 10 to 20 years, this is the age cohort that is unpredictable and volatile, and they tend to act now and then think later. And very often the violent, the very frantic and extreme violence they engage in when they're in their early 20s or late teens still has them embroiled in that kind of scene through their 20s and even into the 30s. So yes, I would be concerned that this will lead to reprisal attacks, because what it looks like now is that two gangs, if you like, certainly people who are aligned to gangs, clashed on the streets. And I think it'd be very naive to think that's not going to happen again. It has been the experience before. And I suppose we're now into this post-Kinnane cartel era now, aren't we? You know, like the group that ran the cartel here in Ireland has more or less been taken down. I mean, some of them were jailed in the period maybe 2016 to 2018 for periods of 5, 6, 7 years. They're beginning to get out of jail now again. But you do have a cohort there that have more or less been wiped out, who would maybe be in their 40s, early 40s now. And you will have this queue of young men trying to promote themselves above street level drug dealing. They will want to become the people who supply to street dealers. And once you get to that level, you're kind of up, up and away. And that's where the fight happens. And I would expect there to be more violence coming out of this. And you may get another cycle of very reckless and random gangland feuding here.
Connor, thanks for your time today.
Thanks, Circa.
That's all for today. For more of Conor Lally's reporting, subscribe at irishtimes.com/subscribe. I'm Saoirse Pollock. This episode was produced by Aideen Finnegan. In the News, we'll be back tomorrow.